This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
The Chinese Football Podcast, brought to you by Wild East Football.
Hello, and welcome to the Chinese Football Podcast, brought to you by Wild East Football. I'm your host, Steve Crooks, and you're joining us for another of our intimate one-on-one series of fan journey interviews with some of the names and voices that you'll be very familiar with from the Chinese football blogosphere and Wild East Football itself. This week, I am sitting down virtually to catch up on how it all started and where it all developed from with none other than Brandon Chemers, our resident Beijing expert and Guan green glasses viewing friend. That's a great intro, but I'm going to stick with it anyway. Brandon, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Steve. Love the pods, and it's good to sort of talk a little bit more about myself, as always.
Yeah, these are really interesting series, actually, because I think a lot of listeners get familiar with us, you know, from the discussion and the banter that we have on the podcast, but there's a lot more history that goes into, I mean, particularly yourself and Cam and how long you've been following the game in China that I think is really thrilling for people to learn about. So let's begin where it all started then, kind of what took you to China in the first place and kind of how long did it take you to get into the game after landing?
My first time to China was in 1998. And from that trip, I can remember walking down a very different Wangfujing from what it is today, when it was still sort of these small shops and everything, and coming across a shop selling football kits. And being from the U.S., you know, it's not very easy access all the time, at least not back in the mid to late 90s to football gear. And so I saw that, like, wow, you know, there's all these choices. And then there's this green one here that I've never seen before with like Ryobi across the chest and everything. I'm like, wow, that's like the local team. I want to get that one, although they only had it in kid sizes. So that sort of moment foreshadowed what was to come in the future. But actually, I love telling the story. My first ever actual CSL match was a Shenhua match. So I was in Shanghai. It would have probably been 99, and you know, I was studying at Fudan at the time, and I missed a bus or something, or I had no clue where I was going. So I was just strolling around and came across Hongko on a match day, and they're playing Liaoning. And I went to the match, and it was exciting. You know, I always said, and I've said it on the pod a number of times, I always said, it's so, you can tell a lot about a country, a city, based on the sports, based on the environment around that. And so for me, whenever I travel, I always want to witness that. I always want to see whatever the local game is, the local team. And so when I stumbled across the Shanghai match, that was fun. But I very much have a hate relationship with the city of Shanghai. And so from that, I could never be a Shenhua fan.
Well, there would be a complete majority of us on the pod if it were the case that you were. I mean, they're two very different cities, Beijing and Shanghai, and you don't tend to meet many people who fall in love with both of them. There's a huge rivalry between them. Do you think that the clubs kind of represent that as well to a degree and their fan bases?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really think that, you know, the fan bases play out into sort of the city stereotypes per se. You know, it was always shocking me, the Shenhua fans I have met, even the local ones and not the Scottish ones, are all very heavy drinkers, which totally goes against sort of my opinions of people from Shanghai. So I don't think it completely plays out for the fan bases, but I do think that the fans hold those at least hold the stereotypes of the other city. So the stereotypes that Shanghai people have towards Beijingers and vice versa. I think the fans definitely feel that that's the way the other side is and doesn't like them because of it.
Yeah, great rivalry there. Great stereotypes as well. This is as good a time as any, actually. I was going to ask you later on what some of your kind of standout favorite unforgettable memories from your time following the game are. And I guess there must be a couple of China derbies in there for better or for worse.
Yeah, I mean, if I have to go with the China Derby, it would have been the Mao Jianqing winner, or that 3-2 match where 3-2 or 2-1, I think it was 3-2, where he scored the late winner and did the neck slashing motion.
Badge kissing.
Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely a classic. And because recent years it's been relatively one-sided, at least at Gongti. And so I guess the away one last year at Hong Kong was definitely very, very painful. But it was also the first time I had my son on an away trip. He's 4 at the time. And so I guess that's memorable for that aspect of it.
Yeah, that actually brings up another interesting question, because, I mean, as you said, you've been following the game for, what, nigh on 20 years in China now. And you've gone through this kind of metamorphosis to a degree, I suppose, from kind of being part of a hardcore fan group initially up there in Beijing, now to a kind of family man taking your kids to the game. What's been the biggest change in the experience in those ways?
Yeah, I mean, I had some differences as well with the supporters groups and everything, and there's a lot of internal politics going on and stuff. And so after a while, I just decided I'm just going to sit back and have a seat instead of standing and jumping around and singing all game and stuff and take my kids to the match. And it's more relaxed that way, but still that old sort of supporter in me who wants to sing along. And so I'm still, North Terrace or North Stand till I die sort of thing. So we're still behind the goal. I'm just in the stand above them. And so, you know, when they start singing, I'll kind of join in a little bit. People around me will give me strange looks. Last year, at least, I was in another section next to them where there's some people that would join in with me. So it's different, but that's always sort of how I support. Even back in the U.S., I started supporting MLS actually after I started supporting the CSL. But when I did start supporting the Chicago Fire, my local team, I was part of the supporters group. And so that had always been, for me, going to football is about standing and singing and jumping around for 90 minutes.
Yeah, and it's often actually the jumping around during the game and the pregame and the postgame are often the most fun parts of the experience as well, particularly in recent years for Shenhua, but I won't colour that with my own experience too much. To kind of go back then, how, despite falling through the grasp of Hongkou, you did end up becoming a hardcore Guoan fan. How quickly did that happen? The move from football tourism, if you like, as you described just there, to being a regular kind of match goer and really getting invested in the fortunes of the team and the players.
I mean, from 2001 on, I'd be in Beijing for at least 3 months of the year over the summer and would tend to go to every game that was going on at the time. There was always those long international breaks here and there that played into it. But I'd be able to go to a number of games each summer and was always a big fan just because I love Beijing. And, this is the only sports team to really represent the city. So I was always very passionate about it. And then later on, I've known Cammy since probably around 2005 or so, going back to the Big Soccer China Forum days where we'd be going back and forth talking about Chinese football with one or two others who are still around, who are still talking about it with us today on Twitter and on other places. So that sort of got me somewhat writing about it. And I think I started my own website in 2007 and writing about football, among other things. And then after a while, after doing that, I think Cammy came to me and is like, you have maybe 20% of your content is football anyways. Why don't we team up and work together on a site on Chinese football? And so that's what got me involved. But yeah, I think from when I started really writing about it in 2007, that's sort of when I was really into the day-by-day minutiae, because previously it was difficult following it from afar a lot of times, especially, as my Chinese got better, it made it easier, but it was always sort of difficult from that standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, lots of the kind of barriers to following you've identified there. You mentioned you had some fallings out with some of the elements of the fan groups there, and I think lots of us who've been members, certainly this is something that Cam and I have spoken about as well. They are very political organizations, like I suppose anywhere else in the world, and I've had my ups and downs, you know, with the Lanmore, and there have been things that have happened on and off the pitch at times as well, where sometimes you come close to falling out of love with your club or the game, and there's obviously always enough that comes you swinging, you know, background fully behind it. Was there ever a time where you considered walking away? Anything that drove you to that? Or what were the kind of tougher or bleaker moments in your kind of career following Guan this far?
I wouldn't say I've had anything like that. I think for me that it would be unthinkable for me to be in Beijing and watch the game from my living room and not be at the stadium and not pay attention to the team. I think part of that goes to the fact that, I live a block away from Gongti, and I'm at Gongti for some reason or another pretty much every day. And so it's such a part of my life in Beijing and my family's life as well. My kids are at Gongti right now trying to take pictures with the players and stuff. So it's a huge part of, our family's identity. But you have those down times. You have the times where you're angry, where the team isn't spending any money. There's a number of years back when I wasn't maybe in it as much, but from like 2005 to 2008 or so, 2007, where it was tough just because the team was relatively bad. And, if anything, that also is the Feng Tai years when they're playing in the middle of nowhere. And it was really difficult for me to get to a lot of the games. And so it was really frustrating that I wasn't there for some of the matches. But I think that's probably the lowest time was when they're at Feng Tai, and it was that move there when Gongti was being renovated was a pain.
You know, there's some good points there as well. I mean, it's a great location for a stadium, and having these kind of iconic football stadium in the center of a city does a lot to build a club. But I mean, it's always interesting to me that Beijing is effectively a one club city. I mean, you even mentioned it's the only real big major sporting team in, the nation's capital and such a large city. What do you think the factors are behind that? And do you think that Guan take enough advantage of it?
I do think they do a really good job taking advantage of it. I think the factors are, back in the day, the CSL was basically just one team per city. And then for a while, Shanghai had two teams that brief interlude for like 3 or 4 years. And then they moved to Shanxi. But I think part of that is just intentional from the part of the league. And even sort of there was that time way, way back when Liaoning actually moved to Beijing, and they said that they weren't going to change their name to Beijing. And they did for a couple matches before they moved back to Liaoning. And there were times I went to a couple of their games when they were here, just because that team was one of the best Liaoning teams ever. And the guys that have made impact on the CSL. But beyond that, it was always the teams, the Hongdong and everything, were always sort of like the little brothers of Guan. And it just, until 2009, when Guan returned to Gongti, their following was still relatively small. I think part of that goes, it was the bad old days of Chinese football. And then at Feng Tai, just the location made it a pain for a lot of fans. But it wasn't until 2009 where, you know, I can remember going back to 2003, 2004 at Gongti, when there'd be 10,000 people at the matches. So even the Guoan supporters, there's a number of years where there was a struggle of finding fans.
Yeah, and better and more concerted marketing efforts and a bit of success on the pitch kind of undoubtedly help with that. I wanted to go back to the discussion we started about, you know, taking your family to games and your kids being at the stadium, getting selfies with players now and everything. What's the CSL like as a family experience? Because, I mean, coming from, you know, having grown up in English football stadia, for better or worse, I was really surprised and impressed by the number of kind of female fans and families that you see at games across China. But at the same time, I mean, there's a lot of language thrown around, to put it bluntly or politely. And the facilities are pretty basic at the stadium as well. I mean, do they do a good job of taking care of kids and doing lots of these marketing events and meet the players and mini leagues and stuff that maybe, you know, I've not seen much of?
I grew up going to Chicago Blackhawks hockey games in the old Chicago Stadium, which was a dump, which probably by the mid-80s was in the same similar condition as Gongti is now. And, you know, they ended up tearing it down in the early 90s. So that shows you the state of the stadium at the time. And plus, you know, there'd be plenty of salty language being thrown around. So I grew up with that. I'm used to that. And I've told my kids, you know, there's things that they might hear me say at Gongti or hear other fans say at Gongti that you can say at Gongti, but you can't say outside. It's not something that you say. There's talk, there's language we use in the stadium and language we use outside of it. And so they haven't dropped a shabby yet in school or anything like that. Fingers crossed that stays the way. You do see a lot of fans going to matches in China. The facilities and everything aren't that good, but at the same time, you know, kids under 1.2 meters all get in for free, and you can bring in whatever drinks you want as long as they're in your own sort of thermos or something, and whatever food you want. So that always helps making the kids happy. You know, they have their M&Ms after every goal and things like that. So it works out. It's a nice day out. And because there are so many families, it's not something that it seems odd. There's people even with younger kids than mine, which sort of surprises me.
Yeah, well, the next generation of fans kind of growing up there with M&Ms, and I love that distinction of stadium language and non-stadium language. That's one to bear in mind for future, maybe. Something else I wanted to ask about, actually, is, you know, we have a number of contributors to Wild East Football and kind of the Chinese football internet at large who have a lot of match-going experience following their clubs and really get into the club game. But you, I think, more than most, really have this, I don't know, is it fair to say passion or interest or positivity or emotional connection or maybe some connection of all of the above with the national side as well?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been interested in the Chinese national team. You know, in 2004 for the Asian Cup, I was at every game except that final, which still kills me. But I had to go back to the States for school, so I missed the final. And I've always been interested. I've always followed it, and unfortunately, they've always disappointed me, and I always keep coming back for more punishment. I think my real fandom pain, more so from anything that Guoan has ever done to me, that the national team has taken plenty of years off my life.
I mean, when it comes down to it, are you a club or a country man? I mean, if you could choose between China, you know, qualifying for the World Cup and Guoan breaking that title duck in the league, which one would you go for?
It definitely has to be Guoan. And I think it's gotten worse the more the closer I've gotten with Guoan, and the more, you know, I'm traveling to away matches and stuff like that, the more commitment I have there, the more I tend to hate these sort of these other teams' players, especially a lot of the guys on Evergrande and things like that, you know, it's really hard with how much hatred I have for, say, Gaolin or Huang Bowen. And, you know, there's plenty of people that know those stories, but we can save those for later. But, you know, the hatred for those players and then to see them in a Chinese shirt and suddenly have to cheer for them, that's sort of, I can't really do those mental gymnastics all the time.
Well, we had plenty of discussions about Gaolin in the kind of international pods that we started this year with. I mean, you mentioned going to away games as well. I think that's a crucial part of the fan experience and something that is quite unique to China just because of the distances involved. Are there any away trips that really stand out for better or for worse or for the most kind of memorable stories there?
Pretty much everyone is memorable because, you know, on a lot of these you're drinking either after the match, you're drinking and socializing with the home fans, or with your own fans. And so there's always the great nights, you know, even just recently going to Evergrande and winning that match and afterwards drinking with the Guan fans from Hong Kong. But I mean, over the years, experiences with you guys in Shenhua or, you know, Changchun, Jiangsu, you know, pretty much everywhere, there's been so many of them. Obviously, I can't pass the Henan experience that I wrote about. We were stuck on the terrace. There was some fighting pre-match, and basically, we tore up all of the seats. The Henan fans charged the stands, and we didn't get out of the stadium until like 2 a.m. Only got water delivered to us at midnight. And it was just an insane experience. And that was actually my first real away trip. And to have that as a first experience where I was sort of at times really concerned about, you know, are we all getting out of here alive tonight or safe? You know, that was sort of a really rattling experience to have as a first one.
Yeah, and very different from the kind of general away trip experience where you're sitting in the back room of some restaurant afterwards with a bunch of kind of shirtless pot-bellied guys kind of drinking bowls of beer. That tends to be the yeah. way it goes in my experience. There's lots of really kind of interesting, I think, insights and stories there. And hopefully it's let people kind of who are less familiar with some of the work on the website kind of have some reference things to go back and look at. Just to wrap up, something I want to touch on in these interviews that I'm doing with people is what would you say to you know, people who are coming over now, presumably foreigners trying to get into the CSL, have they kind of missed the golden years? You know, there's lots of kind of skepticism about the standard of the game, the national team and so on. Would you still recommend that people just dive in two-footed and really kind of fall in love with the club and use it as a tool to integrate? And if so, kind of what are some tips or advice for how to get in there kind of and make the most of it?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely recommend trying to get involved as much as, getting involved in the game here. As I said, it's sort of it's a really good way to learn Chinese or to learn about Chinese culture. But it's also a good way to learn Chinese because you'll meet a lot of locals who are sitting around you who will want to talk to you as a foreigner. So it's a great way to learn about China, to learn Chinese, to get to know new people. And I think there still are, I mean, you guys in Shanghai have the SEC and have sort of supporters groups and, you know, SIPG have some foreigners involved in a supporters group. In Guan right now, there isn't a single foreigner involved in any of the supporter sections. And so, you know, you see plenty of foreign faces at matches. But if you are passionate about football and if you're willing to be passionate about Beijing and about the team, that there are opportunities there where you'll meet a lot of people. You have some crazy experiences. And it's you'll have a lot of fun in the process. And so I definitely would love to see more foreigners get involved. And the club, you know, they don't make it that easy to buy season tickets, but there are plenty of places, especially our website, of course, where you can get information about how to do it. And it is possible. And, you know, the 800-900 RMB for a season ticket for 18 plus matches is well worth it. It's hard to get that level of entertainment for that value anywhere else, especially if you are a sports fan. And Beijing at Gongti has one of the more unique crowd experiences in football, plus with that location. It's hard not to fall in love. So I definitely would tell everyone who's out there to try and come and at least come out for one match and see how you like it.
I would echo all of that wholeheartedly, apart from the specific mention to Guan, obviously. Brandon, it's been great talking to you today. There's some great stories there. We might come back to your Gaolin stories in particular some other time. But yeah, thanks for sharing some of those. And I think it's been a great insight for the listeners.
Yeah, it was fun, and yeah, maybe we can go into more of those Gaolin stories or me sort of following streams of the FA Cup in class in law school or for later times.
We'll take a vote on which of those stories people want to hear first. They will all come out in the fullness of time. But for this week, this has been your first part of our Fan Journey Pod with Brandon. I have been your host, as usual, Steve Crooks. Thank you once again for listening.
The Chinese Football Podcast, brought to you by Wild East Football.
全场比赛结束了，我们终于出现了。